good to be here together in the house of God, seeking to worship Him together. So, as you maybe know, we're here, me and Esther this morning, and then another two will be here this evening, in God's will, for we're here on deputation with the Whitfield College of the Bible. And some people maybe ask, well, what actually do you do in college? Well, depending who you're looking at, some people might do more than others. But we're there.
Anyway, and we have the Whitfield College of the Bible. Its model text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And it says this: "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So what this verse is really saying is before you are accepted by God as being a genuine missionary or ministry of God's word, there must first be study. And it's vital, and it kind of makes sense that if you're to be a good minister, you must first know what the word of God teaches, what the word of God has to say. So if we are to be able to spread the gospel, we must first know what the truth of the gospel actually is. And that's where the college comes in for the students. It provides the tools whereby the students may have a better understanding of how to gather the truth from God's word, and then also how to practically put that into use. So the college year consists of 11 subjects over the first 4 days for the first years and second years. It runs from Monday to Thursday, and then 6 subjects over 2 days for the third and fourth years, and they come in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And you could say that the subjects are split into two. We have two sections. First of all, we have the subjects that help us to gather the truth that we need in ministry. So we have subjects such as English, Greek, Hebrew, Bible survey, hermeneutics, exegesis, historical theology, and systematic theology. And then if you have a good grasp of these subjects, that really helps you to gather the information that we are needing to use as we preach God's word. But then the other half of the classes are really how we can take this information and then declare it clearly to others, present it clearly in a way that they can understand it. And these subjects, again, you have English, child evangelism, cults, missionary principles, pastoral theology, and homiletics. Now, homiletics is our preaching class, and that's we were given a text the week before, and then we have to preach it in front of the students. And as we go through all these subjects, it's really to try and help us know how to preach God's word better and how better to serve the Lord. And that's what the college is set up to do. Currently, it's based in Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church there in the Ravenhill Road. But they're in the process now of trying to start the building of a new college in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church. So currently we have 10 students at the college, and then there's an additional 3 students come every week for a missionary course from last year. So that's what we have. And this year we had 1 new student with us today, Esther, and she'll tell you a bit more about herself later on. So that's just a general overview of what happens in the college week by week. And we'll ask you just if you would continue to pray for the students as we even will go from pulpit from week to week, especially that God's people will be blessed and to be soul saved even through the ministry of the students. So that's what we all would like to say about the college at this time. But I'd ask, please, if you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 67, please. Psalm 67. Psalm 67, and we'll begin our reading at the first verse. To the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm or song. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And we'll end the reading there at the end of that psalm. And we'll do that now as we seek to praise the Lord and to sing his holy name. Please turn to hymn number 280, please. 280. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. 280. We'll sing all of this hymn, please, and we'll stand as we after we hear the introduction. Let's all unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful to be able to come before you this morning in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all the wonderful things that he has done for us, how he has blessed us. He is our wonderful Savior, the blessed rock of ages that we have been singing about, that we can hide ourselves within our Savior, so that when it comes to that judgment day that we have been thinking about, we have a place to hide. We have the righteousness of our Savior placed upon us. We don't need to be afraid, and we're thankful for all that our Savior has done for us, that we know we can stand with even in your presence this day in the place of prayer to be able to ask our petitions, knowing that we don't need to be afraid, knowing that we have our sins forgiven and we have access right into the holiest of all, into your very holy presence. And I pray as we meet together, you will come and bless us. We thank you that we're able to sing. We thank you that we're able to lift our voices up to praise you for all that you have done for us. And we thank you even for what we've read. We think of this psalm that we've been thinking about. We've been calling for your mercy, that you would bless us, and we pray that you would, and that you would cause your face to shine upon us, even us who are the Gentiles of this world, those who are not the Jews of the Old Testament. But we're thankful that the gospel has been opened up, that all may be forgiven, all who come to the Savior through to come to you through the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know we have assurance that we are accepted in your presence. So I pray you'll come and bless this service this morning as we sing your praises further, as we hear the testimony from Elizabeth or Esther McKee. I pray you will come and speak to her. Cleanse her heart this day, and may she speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ of the power of his power mighty to save in her life. And I pray that you will bless it to all of our hearts this day. I ask you bless us as we open the Word of God, as we would further read it today. May it speak to our hearts, and as the Word of God is opened, I pray you will come and bless the Word of God preached. This is your means. We come simply by the way that you have told us to come. We don't make up our own way, but you have called us to open the Word of God, to preach it. Thus saith the Lord God, and I pray that there be a word for our hearts today as we use the means that you have given to us. As we seek to go in the strength that you give, I pray you will come and bless today, and our hearts will be encouraged, our hearts will be blessed as we commune with our God. For your people especially today, I pray that their hearts will be encouraged as they hear God's word. May you bless and do good and come and help us, for we need your help. Each and every week as we make our way through this word, we need you to speak to us. We need that encouragement as you lead us on each and every day. So bless us, your people, as we would hear your word today, but also for those out of Christ, those who are still in their sin. They haven't called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I pray you'll strive with them today. May your Holy Spirit be here and challenge them in their sin today, that they will turn from it, they will be convicted of it, and they will repudiate it. They will turn away and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I pray you will bless us in this house today as we meet with your people, and may we have a good time together. I pray also for those who are not here today, those maybe are sick or you cannot be able to be out today. I pray you will encourage them wherever they are and have your hand upon them. And this Sabbath day, a day you have set aside for us to be blessed by your word, I pray you will encourage them, and there may be a special blessing for all of your people. I pray for this church here, that it will be a bright and shining light in this dark world. Even as it's set up in this hill, may it be that, like that city that is set in a hill, it cannot be hid, but their light would shine forth to men in this world, to be salt in this evil world. And I pray for the believers here as they make their way out from place to place, and they would seek to reach the boys and girls. They would seek to reach the adults knocking doors here and there. I pray you'll bless their efforts and bless them as they would seek to reach others for Jesus Christ. We also think of this mission that's coming up in Lisbalaw. Have your hand upon it and bless all of those who would take part, especially for those who are bringing your word, for Colin Maxwell, for James Porton, for Laurie Parr. I pray you'll bless all of them as they would bring your word, bring your holy word night by night, that there'll be souls saved in that place. We thank you for how the work commenced there and what a blessing it was, even to this congregation. And I pray that there'll be a work done in that place again, and you bless the word that's been preached in that place in the past. We thank you even for Mr. Foster, who labored there, and I pray you'll bless him today in his home, and him and his wife as you bless them even in this at their this time of their retirement. May you give them bodily strength. May you encourage them each and every day and give them strength they need for day to day. And I pray you'll bless them and do them good. Even think of Mr. Porter as he's there in Kilskerry today. May his ministry be blessed. May the people be built up there. and do them good. So I pray you will continue with us now as we seek to worship together, Father. For Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. Please turn your hymn books this time to 351, please. 351. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. 351, and we'll stand as we sing this, please.
it is well. It is well for us even. And a blessed thought, that verse 3. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is a blessed thought and the bliss of this glorious thought that our sins, we don't bear them anymore because our Saviour has been nailed there to his cross and we don't bear them anymore. That's a wonderful, blessed thought. We're going to ask now if Esther McKee, if she will come. She's a first-year student from Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church. She's going to come now and bring a word of testimony, please. Thank you.
Hello to you all. It's a blessing to be here. And thank you very much for having us and letting us let you see a little bit of us from the college. Thank you very much for that. And just to start my testimony, I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 147. And they start just the verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praises comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. I was blessed to be born into a Christian home. Not just my parents were saved by the time I was born, but my older brother and sister were also saved. And I think I was 12 days old when I first attended Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church. And from then I went to all the Sunday school meetings, the children's meetings, the Holy Bible clubs, everything that you knew was going on, I was sent to. And it was from a very early age, I knew what sin was. I knew it wasn't something big and abstract that no one did. It was something simple like saying, yes, I've tidied my room when I really hadn't, or saying a wee light lie, or stealing something that maybe just a wee sweet from an extra sweet when I was getting the prize. I knew it was something simple, and I knew that I had done it, and I knew that the punishment for sin was death. It was a simple concept, and it's still that to say that sin is something we've all committed, no matter what age we are, and I knew this. And I grew up, and I went to the different children's meeting, and there was one night, I don't know what age I was, maybe 7 or 8, and I just knew I've sinned, but I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if the Lord has took my sin, if he took my punishment for sin. And that night I just went and cried a simple prayer, Lord save me. But I don't have a date. I don't have any knowledge of even what age I was, but simply that I knew I was saved. And maybe you're tonight sitting thinking, I have this date, I'm saved. But do you have the peace that goes along with that? Do you have the peace of salvation? If not, can you say, is it well? If not, I hope that you can say as well today that you'll become saved and you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So after that, I had a relatively simple childhood. I was sent along to our Christian school in Portadown, and I didn't have a lot of hassle. The Christian school obviously protects you. You had prayer time in the morning, Bible study after lunch, and I didn't have the world pressures that you have from going to public school. I didn't have people swearing or inviting me to go to things on a Sunday or on a Friday night when they use fellowship. I was protected from that, and I had a relatively easy childhood that way. But we were doing our sports fun day one year, and I was about 11. And I never found these things any fun because I'm not a sports person. But we were doing it, and we were doing the 800-meter race. And I was not a fit child, as I said, did not enjoy sports. But I was like, this is awfully difficult. But as we got round, the teachers came running over to me, and I was like, I still have a bit to go. Would I get to stop? And they're like, yes, are you okay? They were quite concerned because I was blue and apparently I wasn't breathing very well, and they got me out of that, and I went and they're like, well, no, every time you do exercise, that's not what's meant to happen. So we started to go to the doctors and see what's wrong, and they didn't know what's wrong. They did a bunch of tests. They just were like, we think you might have asthma, so we'll give you an inhaler, but we're not really sure. So we tried that and we continued on. I did different PE classes as I went to school, and I kind of continually gotten out of them because my pain in the chest, it got worse and worse. And we found out that the muscles in between my ribs were spasming. Like you get a cramp in your leg or something like that. This was happening in my ribs. But that was, they didn't know why. They just said, you should phase out of it. You should grow out of it. And I was like, okay, well, as long as I don't have to do PE. And we continued on, and I turned 16, and this was still happening. So it had been 5 years at this point. And I was sitting one afternoon, I was Portadown College at this stage, I was doing my GCSEs, and as a teenage girl, you couldn't go to school without wearing makeup, so I was taking my makeup that night off and just sitting cross-legged on the floor, and I tried to stand up, and I couldn't. There was a stabbing pain in my ribs, and you know, I've never been stabbed in the side, but I imagine it's what it felt like. And I cried getting up, I couldn't get up, so I crawled up the house to my mum, and I went to speak, and I went to tell her I'm in a lot of pain. I went, Mom, But I couldn't get the words out. Again, I couldn't breathe, and we didn't know what was wrong. So another doctor's appointment, what's going on? This is different than the previous pain. And they said, we don't know. We don't know what's wrong with you. They figured out, after a lot of elimination of tests, that they thought my ribs were slipping out of place. Now, obviously, your ribs move in and out, but they're not meant to do the hokey-pokey, as per se. But they didn't know why it was happening, and they said, we think you'll grow out of it. You know, you'll be okay. But they got worse, and it would be one rib at a time, and then when I was doing my A-levels, it was a couple more, and as I got stressed and around exam time, it became worse. And I was doing my A-levels, and I didn't really know quite what I was doing. You see, as I said, I'd been protected, and I kind of phased along in my Christian life, and I did the things I was meant to do, but when I came to my A-levels, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I liked maths, and I liked chemistry. Chemistry was fun because you got to do experiments, but I didn't know what to do, and I didn't pray about it. I just kind of applied, let's do some maths, do chemistry, and see what happens. But as I was doing my exams, my ribs came out of place that morning, but me being the stubborn person I was, went, I can do this. So armed with a cup of coffee and a chocolate muffin, I went and did my exams, and you can guess that a cup of coffee and a chocolate muffin is not enough to do an exam when you have two ribs out of place, so I failed those exams. But when I got my results, I prayed. I prayed, what do I do, Lord? I haven't come to you before, but what do I do now? You see, that verse in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. And I thought that myself before when I was doing the exams, but I left God out of the equation. And then I prayed, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I can only do it through you. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I prayed that weekend, and that Monday morning rolled around 4 days later, got accepted to this course. I wasn't accepted to the two that I'd applied to, but it was a course of chemistry and maths, and it was a course I hadn't actually applied to at all. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know what I was doing, but the Lord changed it, that his will went that way. And I went on. I went to university, and I struggled through it. The pain got worse, and I had a lot of different issues. As I woke up in a second year of university, my daily habit was to wake up, have my cup of coffee, two ibuprofen, 2 hours later, 2 paracetamol, 2 hours later, 2 ibuprofen, because I wasn't dislocating one or two rib anymore. It was all my ribs pretty much every day. It was a lot of pain, but the Lord kept me going, and I got good Christian friends there, and one of the friends is the one that sent me this verse as I was going through the different difficult time, because I felt broken. I felt like an outcast. I was like, what's going on? What have I done? Why am I doing this? And he just sent me this verse and says, the Lord healeth the broken in heart, he bindeth up their wounds. And no matter what we're going through, the Lord is there. He's healeth you, he will be with you, he will gather you together like he gathers the outcasts of Israel, and he'll be with you. But as we went through it, I got to my master's year in chemical engineering, and I was like, okay, I've got a handle on the ribs. My pain threshold had increased quite a bit, but I was sitting in class one day and I crossed my legs and I hit my knee off this corner bracket, and I went, ow, that's quite sore. And it looked a bit funny, but I was kind of used to pain. So I was like, well, I got the training academy to go to, so I'll go to that tonight. And I've got a class I've got to go to the next morning, so I'll go to that too. And it was about 24 hours later, I finally went to hospital, and they looked really disappointed in me because I had dislocated my kneecap and didn't go to the hospital. But that began another question of why, because when I was doing my master's project, you had to be in a lab for the year, and you won't let you near a lab with chemicals and glassware when you are on crutches. They just won't let you do it. So I was out for that year, and I went, Lord, why? Why is this happening? But when I was doing it, I ended up changing my entire work to a computer job. And I invented a new way of doing something, and it got me a job out of it. And that was the year COVID hit. And a lot of my classmates had lost their jobs because they couldn't go into the workplace to do their job. Whereas I had gotten a job because it was all on the computer at a time where lots of my friends were losing their jobs. And what a blessing that was for me. What I thought was just, why is this happening? Why is this going to happen to me? The Lord meant for good. And as it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I just have to say to you, no matter what you're going through, the Lord means it for good. Just keep going. I know it's hard. It's tough. It doesn't make sense to us sometimes. And sometimes we find out straight away what the why is. But sometimes we have to eat for years. And then I thought that was good. And I'll skip to last year. I keep forgetting it's a new year. I know we're in February, but 2 years ago now, I was doing my youth weekend. And I'd kind of gotten used to dislocating things. So we had not just ribs and knees, but there was shoulders and hips. And I woke up in the morning and I dislocated things in my sleep. And they still didn't know why, but I would wake up, I'd put my shoulders back in place, my ribs back in place, and my hips back in place because I dislocated them in my sleep. But I'd gotten used to this. But I went on this youth weekend, and there was no tables or anything inside. I did this, some of the activities with them. I knew what not to do. I couldn't take a jacket off or dislocate it, so I got rid of that jacket. But I knew certain things I could do and certain things I couldn't do. And as I went through this, I went on the weekend and I did the things I could do, but I was sitting at that meeting that night and there was no tables around, there was nothing. I simply crossed my legs, sitting on a chair, and I dislocated my kneecap. But it was okay because I had straps in the car, so I strapped it up, I got my crutch, and I was like, right, we'll just go to bed early and be ready for the next day. But the next morning I woke up and I was like, I don't feel right. I don't know what's wrong. I can't say I've dislocated anything more, but I don't feel right. So I went home and I got into bed. You see, I didn't, unfortunately, get out of bed for about another month. I dislocated not just my kneecap, not just my shoulders, but 26 joints at least. Both shoulders, both fists. You know, the head, shoulders, knees, and that song. Basically, I dislocated everything you could dislocate. And I was in a lot of pain. And my dad, we go one more doctor's appointment. I'm fed up with doctors at this point in time, but my mum says, one more, Esther, just let's try one more doctor's appointment. So we go, and this man, he pokes and prods for about 5 minutes, and he goes, right, I know what you have. And this is after 16 years. He says, I know what you have. And I go, all right. But he says, you have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome hypermobility. And basically, it's all your joints, they'll dislocate. He says, no treatment, no cure. We found out a couple of years ago about this condition. We found out that there's no treatment and there's no cure. You're only going to get worse. And at this stage, I was using a walking stick, because I couldn't go anywhere without dislocating something. And if I used the walking stick too much, I would dislocate my fingers. Everything I could dislocate, I would dislocate. And obviously, that broke my heart. And my friends, they're very good friends. They sent me a little care package, and it says, and they sent a verse in it that's Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When they walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You see, I knew that I was walking through the rivers, and the Christian life is not one that's easy, it's not one that is simple, but it is one that the Lord will be with thee. You will walk through rivers, you will walk through the fire, you will walk through the waters, but they will not overflow thee, they will not burn thee, you will not be harmed, because the Lord will protect thee. And my dad also, he came to me and he said, Esther, I want you to consider James 5, and this is the prayer of the effectual prayer. And it's the prayer of the faith that will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed any sins, he'll be forgiven. So I prayed about this, and I overthought it, and I thought a lot about myself, but then my minister preached, you know him, Reverend Gray, good man, and he preached, if you have a burden, just bring it to the Lord in prayer. He said, how often do we leave a burden down, but then pick it up at the end of the amen? How often do we leave it down and maybe get a good night's sleep, but then pick it up the next morning? And that's what I had been doing for months. But that day I went to him, and I said, can we consider this? Can you pray about this? And he said, yes, of course, on the 1st of March, which is 12 days from now. Last year, the elders came around and they prayed for me. And that was the last time I dislocated something, the 1st of March. Friday next 2 weeks, it'll be a year since I dislocated something. Now, I cannot say that if you have a condition that the Lord will heal you, but I can say that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And while he may not heal you, he will be with thee, as he was with Isaac, as he was with Abraham, as he was with David, he will be with thee. And if you're not saved today, you're going through the same life that we are. You're going through the same struggles. But we have the Lord, and he will be with us if you are saved. And I urge you to come and accept his help and accept his salvation. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Esther, for bringing that word of testimony. I'm just going to ask now if someone could come and bring the announcements, please. Thank you.
On behalf of the minister in session, I would just like to welcome everyone to the service here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for coming in, and we thank you, the Lord, for the good weather to bring us here. And if there's any visitors in the congregation, we give you a special welcome, and we hope you enjoy your time with us. Also, the online viewers, and there's many of them, they tune in to our services as well, and we welcome them as they listen to us today as well. And we especially welcome the Whitfield College students, there's two of them here this morning. We thank them for coming up and thank them for giving their time, and we have enjoyed Sister Esther's testimony so far, and we pray that the Lord will continue on with her and that she'll never have a recurrence of her problems anymore. And to lead and to preach this morning, we'd like to introduce you to Mr. Thomas Hannon, and we'll look forward to his ministry as well. At 6:30 p.m. this evening will be the prayer meeting, and followed at 7 by the gospel service with the Whitfield students again. And tonight, leading and testifying will be Mr. Andrew Irwin, and the preacher will be Mr. Christopher Orr. On Monday to Thursday at 2 p.m., all that are free and would like to come meet in the church car park for the mission outreach. And anyone wishing to do outreach in their own areas, let Reverend Porter know. Tuesday, 8 p.m., the deputation meeting for the work of serve. And at this service, there will be a retiring offering, and Mr. Philip Harton will speak and show a video presentation. Friday night at 6:30 p.m. will be the Bethel Children's Meeting. Other children's meetings on each night at 6:30, Tuesday to Thursday. On Friday as well, at 8 p.m., will be the Youth Fellowship. Then on Saturday at 8 p.m., OMA Free Presbyterian Church Youth Rally, testimony by Reverend Thomas Martin. Next Lord's Day, 25th of February, 11 o'clock, Sabbath School and Bible Class, followed by the prayer meeting at 11:30, and the 12 noon services will be back to our own minister, the Reverend James Porter. Please note there will be no evening service in the church here next Lord's Day. Instead, at 3:30 p.m., the gospel mission commences in Lisbeloe Orange Hall, and it will run from Lord's Day, the 25th of February, to Lord's Day, 10th of March. And the times are Lord's Day, 3:30 p.m., and the weeknights, 8 p.m., and there'll be no mission on Saturday nights. The evangelists at this mission will be Mr. Colin Maxwell, Reverend Laurie Power, and our own minister, Reverend James Porter. Please pray for the mission and invite others. There are also invitations on the table as you leave there, and anyone would like to take what you want and invite others. In the tea rota, there's still a couple of spaces. It's on the hall table as well for certain nights when people travel a distance to sing or testify. So if you can help out there, please do so as well. And finally, as a congregation, we'd like to extend our sympathies to Norma and Stanley Charters and also Martyr Charters on the passing of an aunt. And this aunt is also a sister-in-law of Mrs. Doreen McMaster. Thank you.
Thank you very much for bringing those announcements. We'll sing our offering hymn, please, 101. 101, blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. 101, and we'll remain seated while the offering is collected, please. Do you use left collection? Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Sure, we'll stand as we sing 101, please.
Thank you.
Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51, and I want to begin reading today at the first verse, please. Psalm 51 and the verse number 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer up bullocks upon thine altar. We'll end our reading at the end of this psalm, and we'll come and we'll have a word of prayer now before we bring the message, please. Our Father in heaven, I pray for your Holy Spirit now. Help me now, cleanse me from sin, that I may be able to rightly divide the word of God. I pray you will come by your Holy Spirit, take the word and apply it to every heart this morning. I pray you will come and do a work and bless us now, and do us good first. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. Most people here will probably know of the context of this psalm, but if not, will you just please turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel, please. Keep your finger in Psalm 51 and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. Here in these two chapters, we have the context of this psalm, as we've read in the title, when David went into Bathsheba. But 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1, we see here that this awful account of what happened here, as David was still in Jerusalem in his palace, and he walked out onto the roof and he looked down and he started, and we see here the beginning of his transgression. Verse 2, we see here David have this lustful look upon Bathsheba, and he saw her bathing, washing herself, and she was beautiful to look on. But that lust didn't stop there, but it moved on, and we read of that then, that David, verse 4, he sent messengers and took her, and he went in to Bathsheba. And we see the problems that this caused. Verse 5, the woman conceived and told David, I am with child. And from this point on, we just see over the rest of this chapter such a downward spiral into sin.
We see then how that there was David tried to cover up his sin. Read of that from verses 6 to 13. He tried to cover up what happened, but this didn't work. So what he then done next was he then had to come up with a new plan. And that plan was to murder this man, Uriah the Hittite. This man was one of the greatest men in David's army, one of his mighty men. And yet to cover his sin, he killed this man. He had him murdered on the battlefield. And we see God's verdict at the end of the chapter. Please look in verse 27. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. David had fallen into sin. And you know then from the rest of that, the next chapter as well, we understand even from the verses that it's been quite a few months till Nathan the prophet came to David to confront him of his sin. Several months had been passed, and if you read both that, those two chapters and here in this psalm, you can really get the sense that David had lost his joy. David was miserable, he was depressed, and he was unhappy in his sin. But David, we don't read anywhere that David came to God. We don't see David making the first move, but we always see that God, he always makes the first move. And I think this is a wonderful truth that for us to understand. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and 10, says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We always see God is the first to make the move. Then we follow after him. And here's the same case with David. And I think it's a comfort for our hearts as believers to know that if we do fall into sin, God will not let us go on and on and on. He will come, he'll put his finger on the spot, and he'll confront us to bring us back into fellowship with him. He is the good shepherd of his sheep. And we read in Psalm 23 and 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he comes to us and he always brings us back to himself. He restores us to where we ought to be. But today I don't want you thinking that, well, I couldn't fall to those sins that David did. And maybe today you haven't done the same sins that David has done, but you can be sure that none of us are exempt from falling into sin. Acts 13:22 describes David, and we're told there that David was a man after God's own heart. This man was not a novice in the things of God. David knew his God. He was a man after God's own heart, yet he fell into sin. And we all can do the same. And we need to always be in the guard against sin as we make our way through this world. 1 John chapter 1 and 8 tells us, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So even if you haven't fallen to the same degree as David has done in the passages we've read, you still have sinned against God. And we must continually, as I've said, seek to fight sin in our own lives by the help of the Holy Spirit. But the thing I want to think about today is, what do we do when we do fall into sin? What does the believer do when he sins? Does he just be like David before Nathan come, be miserable and depressed in a backslidden state? No, we must come back to God if we are to have joy, the joy of God's salvation. And from this psalm, I just want to look at a few steps that we should take if we're seeking to know the joy of the Lord in light of our sinfulness. So the first step I want to think about is realizing that God is merciful and will forgive sin. So when we have sinned, we are miserable. A guilty conscience makes us miserable, whether we're saved or not. We have the law of God written upon our hearts, and whether we're a believer or not, we all know when we sin against God, it is not too long before the conscience comes up, pokes us in the side, and saying, you broke God's law, you've sinned against God, and that conscience really can eat away at us. And what are we to do? Or if we harbor this guilt like David, we'll be miserable, we'll be depressed. But what the first step I think we must do is we must realize that God is a God of mercy. And this is what David realized here. He came with a broken heart. Somebody told me during the week about this psalm that when they read it, they can almost see David's tears on the page. It's that vivid. We can see how much he's broken over sin. But he realizes that God is a merciful God, and therefore he can come pleading God's mercy. Look at verse 1 with me, please. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. So we see the terms being built up here. He says, first of all, have mercy upon me. Then loving kindness, which is also in him asking for mercy. And then his tender mercy, the multitude of thy tender mercies. David realized that God is full of compassion. He is full of mercy. And that is why he came to God for help. He came to God for him to take away his sin, because he realized God was merciful. And Jeremiah 3 and 12 tells us this: return now, backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and will not keep anger forever. So we see, when we realize that God is merciful, then we can come to him, because we know he will not be angry forever, but he will have mercy when we return to him. So David realizes that when he comes to God, confesses his sin, that God will have mercy upon him. He was looking by faith to God, realizing who he was, and therefore he could rely upon the mercies of God, for God's mercies endureth forever. So that is a great comfort for us as believers. When we sin, we realize that we have comfort to know that God will have mercy upon us if we turn to him for forgiveness. And even though Nathan came to him and pointed out and says, thou art the man, David realized he was a sinner, but he also realized God is merciful. So this, I think, is something very important for us all to realize, that God will forgive your sin. And whether that is for the unbeliever here today, God will forgive you for your sin if you come to him by faith, confessing your sin. But also for the backslider today, God doesn't want you to remain the way you are. He wants you to come back to a fellowship with him. That is why you must realize today, God will forgive sin. God is merciful. So that's why I say that's the first step we must take. But then the next step we must take is that we must acknowledge our sin before God. We must confess our sin before Almighty God. Verse 3 tells us, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And I think there was a striking words that David says, my sin is ever before me. It's almost like it was wrapped around him. He couldn't take it off. He was surrounded by it always, and it wouldn't leave him. That conscience was always poking him and was always troubling. Look what you done to that woman. Look what you done to that man. You are a great sinner. And the conscience was troubling him, and he had to confess that sin. That's what God calls us to do, that we must come and confess. Now, the New Testament word for confess is a compound word. It's made up of two Greek words. And I would say most of us here will know those Greek words. The word starts off with the word homo, which means the same. And then we have the word logos, which means word. So when you put those two words together, what confession really is saying the same word or saying the same thing as God has said in his word. So what that idea of that means is that when we confess our sins, we are going to God's word and we are confessing. We're saying the same as God. Yes, I have broken your law. When your law says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt commit adultery, I'm saying, yes, I agree with what your word has said. I should not commit adultery. I should not kill, but I have done this. And what David was doing was he was coming and he was saying, I have sinned against God. And we see that in verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. So we see here that David, he's saying, I agree. I have sinned. I've done evil in your sight, that you may be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. He was agreeing with God. And God calls us to repent of our sins. He calls us to confess our sins before him in prayer, coming to him and saying, yes, whatever that sin might be, you will know in your own heart what your sins are. He calls us to just come and pour our hearts and say, look, Lord, I have broken your law. I have broken your word, and I have done evil in your sight, both for a believer, the backslider today, but also for the unbeliever. If you're here not saved, God calls you to take the same step. Come to him confessing your sins, repenting, turning from your sins, turning away from your sins and to Christ for forgiveness. And that leads us then on to the third step that I see in this psalm, if we're to have forgiveness. And that is, we must plead for cleansing and for forgiveness. Look at verse 7. See this in verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So see here, he's pleading for forgiveness. He's pleading for cleansing in the precious blood. And this brings us to the cross. For we're told in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So the hyssop here that's mentioned, that David mentions in verse 7, brings us back to the thought of back in Exodus chapter 12. Some of you will know that passage, the passage of the Passover lamb. And Exodus chapter 12, verse 22 and 23 tells us this. "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of the house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door." So here we see the blood was necessary. And those Israelites took the hyssop branch, they dipped it in the basin, and they sprinkled the doorposts, and the blood was applied. And if we are to ever know forgiveness of sins, we ever know cleansing of our hearts, we must have the blood applied to our hearts. First of all, as I've said about unbelievers, you must today. If you're out of Christ, you must have your heart cleansed from sin to know God's judgment passing you over, not judging you. But also for the backslider here today, if you're to have forgiveness, if you're to know a way back to God, you must be cleansed from your sin. You must bring your sin to God with confession, but then you must plead, "God, please forgive me." And we know, we have assurance that if we do, then God will accept us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 tells us this. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." We've looked at that verse. Every believer will sin against God. There's no exceptions. But verse 9 goes on to tell us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God is faithful. God is just. He must forgive us for our sins. If he is to be a just judge, he'll look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for us in our place, who went to the cross to take our sins away. He has died for his people. So when we confess our sins, God must forgive us our sins. And I would go as far to say that if we confess our sins, if we take the steps that God tells us to do, and God was not to forgive us our sins, that would be God. He wouldn't be just. If we confess our sins, the Bible tells us he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're a backslider here today, you can have assurance today. You can know forgiveness of sins if you will come, first of all, realizing God is merciful, we can come to him. He will have mercy. If we then take the next step and we confess our sins, then crying to him to cleanse us in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the promise from God is, "I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I will forgive your sins." So today, if you're in here today, maybe you're lacking assurance today of sins forgiven. Well, then God called you to, yes, you must look within, first of all. See that you are a sinner before Almighty God, but you must take that sin to him. And when we take our sin to God, he will not look upon our sin anymore, but he will forgive us for our sins. It's not a matter of the believer here saying, "Well, I know I sinned this week, so I must spend the next few days trying to do my best, trying to be a good Christian, trying whatever we can do, and then God will accept us if we're clean enough, if we haven't sinned in the past few days." That's not God's way. That's a works-based religion. And that is not the religion that we have. We are only accepted in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and that gives us great comfort. That gives us great joy, because as we take these steps, if we apply these steps to our lives, then we can have joy of having our sins forgiven. We can have that peace with God, knowing that He will forgive us for our sins, and we can come to Him. We can be in His presence because we have clean hands, we have pure hearts. So if you're lacking assurance here today, stop looking at your own sinfulness. Rather, look to Christ's righteousness. Look to Christ's work on the cross, and is there that we can have peace with God? Is there that we can have assurance of sins? I remember whenever I was first saved, especially in the prayer meeting, I would have came and I would wanted to pray, and the devil would have came alongside me and he would have said something to this effect. He'd have been like, look what you have done today. You have sinned against God today. And then you think you can come into this place of prayer. You think you can pray to God. Do you not know God is holy and God cannot look upon sin? Then you are not worthy to come before the Lord. That's what the devil would have came and said to me. And yes, it is true. I was a sinner. It is true that God cannot look upon sin. But we do not go on our own merit. We go in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be accepted at the throne of grace. Because when we come in Jesus' name. And if you're a sinner here today, I would plead with you, I would encourage you, take your sin to Jesus Christ. Have your sins washed away, and then you will have that assurance. I come in Christ's righteousness. I don't come in my own strength. I come in the strength that God gives, for we have an access into the most holy presence of God. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll end here at this point. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What a blessing it is to be a believer. What a blessing it is to come to God and to know we have, as we're told here, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. To think, believer today, we were and still are sinners, vile sinners before an almighty God, but then to be able to hear God's word saying we have boldness to enter by the blood of Jesus. We are commanded. God tells us, I want you to draw near with a heart, with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You don't have to have an evil conscience here when you leave this place today, believer, because God says, as that blood is applied to your heart, your minds will be cleaned, will be cleansed from an evil conscience, because if God has forgiven us, we can forgive ourselves. We can know that if we have sinned before God, we are cleansed from sin. God accepts us, not for who we are, but accepts us for the blood of Jesus Christ. We stand in his presence by the holy blood of Jesus Christ. So we can know joy today by taking these steps. If we realize God is merciful, as we confess our sins to God, as we rest on the blood for cleansing, then we will have peace with God it is well with our souls, and we will have joy of his salvation. David said in verses 8 and 12, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me by thy free spirit. You can know the joy of God's salvation here today, those out of Christ, by turning from your sin, trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Then you will have the joy of sins forgiven. But backslider here today, believer here today that's fallen into sin, you can know the joy of God's salvation. David says, restore unto me. We don't have to be long-faced today. We can go out today with a heart full of joy, knowing I have peace with God. I have salvation. I am in fellowship with my God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that today will bring us joy as we meditate upon these thoughts, thinking about God and how he forgives us, cleanses us from our sins. And we'll end our study there today. Let's all pray as we close. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy and your precious word. We thank you for this word that you've given to us, that we can know sins forgiven. We can know that fellowship restored again. Like David here, he could go and he could pray and he could say, I have sinned, and the word of God comes to him, thy sins have been forgiven thee. Well, we know today if we come by the blood of Jesus Christ, if we confess our sins, you have promised they are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I pray, Father, today you will cleanse us all from our sin. You will give us that joy of salvation, knowing our sins are forgiven, and help us to have that fellowship restored between us and a holy God. I pray also for those out of Christ that they would turn from their sins today and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.